so much. Here's my prayer. When Elijah left, he asked Elijah, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Brother Chris, my prayer for you is that God would put a double portion of the spirit that was on your uncle on you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you. Love you. Come preach to you.
Good morning. It is really an honor to be here, and you guys hear me okay out there? I want to keep you just a little while today, and I prayed about what to preach today. I had a couple things on my mind that I wanted to preach, but as I've been here today, it's been confirmed. I do believe I have the right word, and Uncle Ike was a man that God used, but why did he use him? I want to talk to you today briefly about, and the message is titled, The People God Uses. How many of you want to be a person God uses? I wanted to be that kind of person. I just didn't think I was that kind of person. I can remember when I was younger in the Lord, and I came to Christ at 25, right after my 25th birthday. I got out of the Air Force. I'd been out of the Air Force for about 3 weeks when Jesus saved me, so I thought my life was over, then a new life was beginning, and I was somewhere in the middle of that, and I didn't quite know what was going on with my life. I just knew I'd pick up the old Assembly of God evangel that used to come to the apartment. I'd read stories about pastors and missionaries, and I remember thinking to myself as I was reading, boy, it'd be nice to be that kind of person that God could use like that. I honestly believe that I would never be used like that because they are obviously better people than I am. They've been more faithful to God than I've been, or maybe they came to Christ when they were younger than I did, but honestly, I didn't believe God could use me. I was just glad to go to heaven maybe when I died. But I'm thankful that there's more. There can be more to this life than just going to heaven. We can be used by God while we're here. And so I want to look at that. You know, I want to ask y'all to pray with me here in just a few minutes. But as I get started, you think about today in the world of athletics, business, military, etc. People are training. They're being trained to be the best they can be. A person's whole life is spent trying to achieve goals, maybe the highest level of athletic greatness, rank beyond whatever the case. But never has this ceased. This was true even in the Roman Empire. But it's never been so influential, I believe, than it is in the Church of God today. I'm thankful for beautiful singing, good preaching. I pursue excellence. I try to get better at what I do. But God is not looking for people based solely upon their ability to do things. While I'm not excusing effort, we make effort. If I'm a pastor, I want to know how to be the best pastor I can be. If I'm a singer, I'd like to become one of the best singers I can be. No questions asked. But typically what we see today is that people are being chosen based upon these abilities alone, and it's not God's desire. It's not who he declares great in his kingdom. Man's estimation of his own self is not God's estimation. Whether he believe himself to be great or the opposite. Men and women, listen, from Jesus to the apostles, from the Reformation until now, have not been chosen because of their greatness, but because of their weakness. They've not been chosen because of their ability, but because of their availability. How many of you this morning want to be available for God to use? You say, Brother Chris, I lack the ability, but that's not necessarily what God's looking for. He's looking for your availability. I want to be available. I thank God for this opportunity, and when I was called about it, I wanted to be available. I wanted God to use me today to bless you and to honor him. But God does not use people because of their ability to lead, but because of their ability to follow Jesus. The kingdom of God, it's a great paradox, isn't it? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The least shall be greatest. You got to live. If you live, you got to die. And if you refuse to die, you'll never live the full life God wants you to live. And what does all this mean, Chris? It makes sense, but it doesn't. It didn't. Listen, when God came to Gideon, it did not make sense to Gideon that God was calling him to do what he was going to do. And if y'all will, real quick, guys, go with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look. And this is not going to be an exhaustive message. I want to simply read chapters 12 through 16. We're going to look at Judges chapter 6, chapters 12 through 16. And as you're getting there, it is just wonderful again to see family, friends, students. Beautiful singing. It's always easier to preach after that kind of worship. But while in no way exhaustive, y'all, I would like to analyze aspects of Gideon's life and his character that made him approachable by God and useful for God. I'm going to reference other people who, like Gideon, they position themselves both physically and spiritually to be used by God. And if y'all are with me, let's look in Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Judges 6, 12 through 16. Let's begin. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all of his miracles which our fathers told of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and am I not the least in my father's house? And lastly, verse 16, And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Would y'all pray one more time with me? Heavenly Father, today as with Gideon, Lord, make us mighty men and women of valor. Lord, use us for your glory. Today, Father, may your spirit rest on me as I speak. God, may my words go deeper than I have the ability to make them go, Lord. May they touch the heart today, and may you change our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you, we honor you. Amen. Amen. So, y'all, I want to talk to you today on four thoughts. Number one, the people God uses, number one, those he can encounter. God uses, number two, those he can send. He uses those who acknowledge their weakness and those who remain small in their own eyes. Amen. These are the kind of people God can use. Gideon lived in the time of the judges. Gideon himself was a judge chosen by God to deliver his people from the Midianites. You see, and also the Amalekites, but particularly the Midianites. Gideon lived. I'm intrigued by Gideon's response. You know, Gideon was in a wine press threshing wheat. He was not on the threshing floor. He was hiding from the Midianites. He was hiding because they had been destroying all the fruit of the ground. They had been stealing the crops that God's people were growing to support themselves. And so Gideon was quite literally hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. Not exactly where you would think that a mighty warrior would be at, right? God came to a man who was hiding from the enemy to preserve God's fruit, God's product. And so let's look, number one, God uses those he can encounter. God uses those he can encounter. As we look throughout Scripture in the Old Testament and the New, God clearly and powerfully encounters those for whom he commissions and he sends to be his servants. As Brother Billy brought up, and it touched my heart when he said that the Lord encountered Brother Ike and he commissioned him. When God encounters people, God is not random. Y'all know that. I may be one of the most random people I know. I'm working on that, but God's not random. In fact, when God encounters us, he does so for a purpose. He's a God of purpose. And so I want you to look, and Moses was encountered by God in the burning bush. Sister Emily mentioned that. The Lord encountered Abraham in Genesis 12 with a promise. Genesis 26, he extended that promise to Isaac. Genesis 28, he extended that promise to Jacob. In 1 Kings 11 and 9, it said that God appeared to Solomon twice. God uses those he can encounter. And while people today may not be promised an encounter like this one, Jesus said this in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And Ephesians 2, 18 says, for through him we have access to by one Spirit unto the Father. And so how does God encounter us today? It's really quite simple. He encounters us by the Holy Spirit, and he particularly encounters us while we're seeking to encounter him. And in no way, shape, or form does that mean God won't come to someone without them first coming to him. But I'll tell you this, what sets your heart up for an encounter with God like nothing else is when you desire to encounter him. When you condition your spirit to encounter the living God, you become that much more able to be encountered by him and open to his visitation. And I'm going to tell y'all for an illustration, let's look no further than Gideon. Where was he again? He was threshing wheat in a wine press, where he was hiding from the enemy because he was tired of seeing the enemy take and destroy what belonged to the people of God. How do you know when you're close to a fresh encounter? I'll tell you this, it's when you're tired of seeing the devil stealing what belongs to God's people. When you're tired of the status quo, when you're tired of seeing people's lives being destroyed, you're tired of hearing what God can do but not seeing what God can do. Guys, we're getting close to an encounter with the living God. Is there a stirring in your heart this morning to see the things of God preserved? Are you tired of seeing the enemy oppressing the people of God? Are you tired of seeing everything God's people are doing scooped up and stole by the enemy? Does this challenge you this morning? It challenges me. Is there a stirring in your heart this morning to see God's things preserved? If the answer is yes, then you're in a good position to encounter God. You're in a good position to be encountered by God. If you are not concerned or aware of the things that the enemy is stealing, begin to pray that God will show you what he wants you to see, that he'll once again burden your heart to see the things of God preserved. When you begin to find yourself tired of seeing the enemy stealing God's glory from his house and trying to steal God's blessings from his people, you are becoming positioned for a life-changing encounter with God. That I can assure you of this morning. Who does God want to use? Who can God use? Number two, God can use those that he can send. God uses those that he can send. Let's go back to that encounter that Moses had. Well, I'll be the first person to tell you God loves everyone in this house. I'll be the first one to tell you that he wants to encounter you. And if you desire an encounter by God, you better be ready to be sent somewhere by God. God is intentional. When he encountered Moses in the desert, God's intention was not to impress Moses with a bush that wouldn't burn up. It was his intention to send Moses to deliver his people from Egypt. Following the burning bush, we see in Exodus 10a, the Lord says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Look in Isaiah 6, and for the sake of time, let me just go there. After encountering the holy presence of Yahweh and being cleansed from his sins, Isaiah said this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Lastly, for a New Testament example, another thing Brother Billy referenced. Paul, and when he was talking to King Agrippa in Acts 26, he's detailing his conversion and his encounter with God. And in verse 17, this was Jesus' words to Paul, and I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles to whom I now send you. We find plainly that Jesus' encounter with Paul was for the purpose of sending him to the Gentiles with a message of the gospel. If you want to be encountered by God, you got to be ready to be sent. We have a message. We have a message that is able to save the human soul and reconcile them to God and forgive their sins, y'all. If we want to be encountered by God, we got to be ready to be sent with that message that can save men and women's soul. You know, all of these examples, obviously they're limited. There's so many more, but God encounters us in order to commission us. God encountered Brother Ike with a commission. I know of no other human being, and I say this honestly, that's impacted this community like he has. Far-reaching. It's not just this community, but it is particularly this community. I'd love to be him on the day of judgment, I'll just tell you, when the Lord's handing out rewards for faithfulness. You know, because all of us on that day will stand in the righteousness of Jesus. But I'll tell you this, he's done a lot for the Lord. And he didn't do it for that, but he's certainly going to be rewarded. Him and Aunt Carol both, among others, for sure. But let's look in Matthew real quick again. Jesus said, 28, the Great Commission, we know this. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Here's the deal, y'all. God promised his presence to who specifically? Those who would go and with the message of the gospel, those who would go into all the world. Does that mean that I've got to go all over the world, Brother Chris? You need to go where God calls you to go. If God calls you to Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, you need to be willing to go. And you've got this promise. If you'll obey Jesus' commission to go and spread the gospel, you're promised his special presence to the end of the age, to the end of the world. That is a promise specifically. I know he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but there is a special promise of his presence to those whom he can send. And if you can be sent and you'll go, I promise you this, you'll experience his presence no matter how far he sends you, to the ends of the world, if it be that. God uses those who acknowledge their weakness. And I'm going to tell y'all, this is hard to do. It's tough. And my dad and I were talking about this probably yesterday on the phone. We were talking, you know, it's hard because especially we as men and all of us, frankly, in this age, we live in an age, and I don't know how much this has ever been different, but it's hard. You know, it's hard to embrace the things about you that aren't right. It's hard to embrace the things about you that are weak. It really, especially as a man. Dad and I were talking about this. So, you know, the people who can be most healed, the people who can be most delivered and restored, are those who are willing to just look into their own heart and examine themselves and say, you know what? This is there. This sin is there. This weakness is there. The things about us that we don't want to see, if we'll be willing to embrace those things about ourselves, God can bring about the greatest work in our life. And you know, God uses those who acknowledge their weakness. God, listen, Gideon told the Lord, my clan is the weakest. My clan is the weakest. Gideon belonged to the tribe of Manasseh, or if you will, the half tribe of Manasseh. It wasn't even a whole tribe. Gideon says, I'm from a half tribe, Lord. My family's the weakest, and if that ain't enough, I'm the smallest in this family. And so if you were wondering this morning, Brother Chris, I don't even know if I've got the right last name for God to use me. And even if I do have the right last name, I'm not the right person in that family for God to use. And I want to tell you, yes, you are. Because Gideon said, listen, my clan's the weakest, and I'm the smallest in that clan. And God said, you're the one I'm going to use, mighty warrior. Did you see how the angel of the Lord greeted Gideon? He greeted him as mighty warrior, mighty man of valor. And that is not how Gideon saw himself. Gideon saw himself from the weakest tribe and the smallest in that tribe. And listen, as I've stated, it may sound like Gideon was trying to cop out of what God wanted to do. Gideon was just being honest with the Lord. And can I tell y'all this morning, God is okay with your honesty. Do you know God's not threatened by your honesty? He can handle it. He could handle Gideon's honesty because he knew what he was getting ready to do in Gideon's life and through his life. And as I stated in the intro, this world system seeks to continually brainwash people into thinking that success comes through superiority. God's kingdom seeks to continually remind us that kingdom success and standing does not come through worldly means, but through the humility of man and the grace of God. That I'll give grace to the humble. Romans 7:8, Paul again, who better to look for than the Apostle Paul? Romans 7:18a says this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells what? No good thing. No good thing. It appears that Gideon had a clear understanding of his personal inability to do anything great for God in himself. God's plan is not that you realize his call and then muster up the ability to accomplish it, but rather just the opposite, that you realize his call, you realize your inability, and you embrace his ability to do through you what you could never do on your own. No, in no way does this serving the Lord is a lot of work. But it's work that can only really be done through the grace and power of God working through us. But why bother, Brother Chris? Why must we be weak? Why must we feel weak and incapable? After all, is that really the mentality of a warrior? Is it really the mentality of a warrior to feel weak? It's really the mentality of a warrior of God. If I had time today, I would take time and we'd go through passages and show you how God's strength would not be demonstrated through a massive army. If you continue to read through this passage, you're going to find out that the Lord is going to downsize from tens of thousands all the way down to 300 people. And he's going to even divide them up. You see, not only did God want Gideon to remember his inability to do anything on his own, he did not want Israel to claim any credit for what he was about to do. Some of you in here today are wondering, when is God going to show up? When you are willing to be sent, that's when he'll show up. When you are willing to be encountered. You may say, when can I be effective, Brother Chris? That is when you realize that strength comes through understanding your weakness and embracing God's power. When I realized in picking up that old magazine, I realized that none of these men and women are out here because they're something special, but because God is something special. And they allowed him to be something special in and through them. That's when we see God effectively working in our lives. You might be struggling with a sin this morning or with an insecurity this morning. When am I going to be free from this, Brother Chris? When you realize you can't be free from it unless God sets you free from it. That all of our best effort is in vain unless he's the one building the house, unless he's the one doing the work. God is so able to do it. And lastly, God uses those who remain small in their own eyes. It's one thing to embrace our weakness, but boy, can human nature take over. Oh, Lord, y'all folks, oh, there's times when I've done things and I begin to think, God, you know, if it weren't for me, the Lord wouldn't be doing this. That is so dangerous thinking, isn't it? Look at all God's done in my life and look at all that I'm doing for God. And it's one thing to come to him humbly, but it's another thing for us to remain small in our own eyes. We've got to be really careful of this, folks. Not only did Gideon admit he came from the weakest tribe, but he admitted that he was the least among his people. What Gideon didn't realize is that's exactly what God was looking for. He was looking for the least. He was looking for those who didn't think they had it in them to do what he was calling them. Gideon's future obedience proved that he was no coward, just the opposite. He was a valiant warrior. He was a man of valor. Gideon's confession was a true statement. It wasn't a cop-out, but it was to ensure that they had the right man for the job. Gideon's words are simply a confession, and today we'd call it a full disclosure. God's okay with that. God is okay with you confessing to him your concerns about what he wants you to do. Lord, I don't think I can do this. You know what? God will say, you're right, but you can do it through my power that's perfected in weakness. You can do it. I hope somebody's encouraged this morning. Whatever you're going through and you say, I can't do it another day, but I can tell you God can do it another day. God can do it another week. God can do it another year. And so you just put your faith in the one that's able. I want you to know this morning that God is perfectly fine with a full disclosure from you. Perhaps he is calling you into something and you know in yourself you don't possess the resources to accomplish that calling. God's not asking you to muster up the resources and ability. He's just simply asking you to understand that you're small and you're weak, but he is a big and a powerful God. You know, New Age theology teaches that the secret to man's success is just looking on the inside and realizing that the answer was there all along. That's very dangerous because that's left a generation very empty because they've looked on the inside and they didn't see anything that could help them out of their situation. When the Lord called Gideon a valiant warrior, a man of valor, what the Lord knew is that I'm going to be a valiant warrior through Gideon. I'm going to do through him what he doesn't think he can do. And we got to be very careful with that, because you remember what Jesus told the apostles. He says, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Because what he was saying to them, you don't have it in you to do what I'm calling you to do. And so you and I have got to realize we don't have it in us to do what God's calling us to do. But he has it within himself and an unlimited supply. If you and I will tap into that and stay tapped in. Listen to what God's word through Saul said, and I want to get ready to conclude. The Lord said this to King Saul. When did Saul... King Saul, as y'all know, was the first king of Israel. Wasn't necessarily, God wasn't thrilled with Israel wanting a king, but when he finally gave them one, it was Saul. And Saul, though he was head and shoulders above everyone else, some people said he might have been just a little bit shorter than Goliath. I have no idea how tall he was, but he was a very sizable human being. But here's what Samuel said, the Lord said through Samuel, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And though Saul may have been very tall as a human being in stature, he was very small in his own eyes, and God made him king of Israel. How do we succeed with God? We succeed with God when we're small in our own eyes. God uses those who are small in their own eyes. When did Saul lose the kingdom of Israel? He lost it when he became too big in his own eyes, and he believed that his way was better than God's way. While King Saul was head and shoulders above the average Israelite, he was small in his own estimation. That's why God chose him. But when he stopped being small, he began standing in God's position. And he believed that he could control the plan and purpose of God, that maybe his idea was better. Don't destroy everything, but save what's good. No, God said destroy it all. This mentality costed Saul everything, and it could cost us everything too. I want to conclude with a couple thoughts from Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, China Inland Missions. You know, Hudson Taylor stated, I often think that God must have been looking for someone small and weak enough for him to use, and that he found me. Some of you today are thinking that you're not ready to be sent because you lack maybe some kind of skill, ability, or level of goodness. One time Uncle Ike was talking to him, and he said, you know, Brother Chris, I wish I'd have went to seminary. I wish I'd have had a little more education. I'm thinking to myself, you know, and nothing wrong with that. I'm a teacher, but you know, and that's good if you get it. But let me tell you something, you're not limited either. God's not limited. Brother, that's one thing that I wanted to tell him. I'm like, man, in my life, you've taught me a lot more in seminary, you know. That was just his humility, though. You know, that was just his humility. I can just remember that, though. And some of you today are thinking, some of you feel like you're unworthy because of your failure. Maybe at one point in your life you knew what God was calling you to do and you disobeyed him and you went another direction. And now today, can God really use my life? God can really use your life. Yes, he can. Yes, he can, and yes, he will. Along with acknowledging our smallness, in conclusion, you need to trust the magnitude of God. In acknowledging your weakness, you need to also be willing to receive the power and strength that comes from God. This is what Gideon did. He was not only an encounterable guy by God, sendable, he was humble enough to confess his inabilities and willing to believe that God could do through him anything that God desired to do. Once again, Hudson Taylor's experience and abilities. He said this when starting up the Chinese Inland Mission Society. He was ridiculed and he was abandoned by many. He was literally left with just a couple people because they thought he was absolutely ridiculous in what he wanted to do. Y'all have no idea the persecution Hudson Taylor faced by wanting to go into China, adopt their culture, and reach the Chinese people. There are as many Chinese Christians today as there are probably people living in America. And many of them can trace their heritage back to the China Inland Mission Society, their spiritual heritage. But here is what, in conclusion, Hudson Taylor came to understand. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, once again, God, we come to you. And we acknowledge today, Lord, that we're not able to save ourselves. Lord, if there's someone in here this morning that needs salvation, they can't save themselves. They can't clean their life up, God. They can't stop the power of sin in their life on their own, God, but you can. Lord, you can also restore faith in people's hearts to believe that they can do what you've called them to do by your grace. And so, Father, today as we conclude this beautiful service, God, I want to ask you today to renew our faith, Lord, that you can do what you said you'll do and you will do what you said you'll do. God, in spite of our weakness, Lord, you are a God who is unlimited, Lord. So I pray today for faith to rise. God, for the future of Calvary, Lord, to be firm in the fact that though we can't do it in our own ability, Lord, we can through your ability, your grace. And so, Father, I want to ask for fresh faith, fresh fire, fresh vision, Father, fresh hope, God. And Lord, we love you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Brother Donnie.